you set for all the action. It's Vancouver Canucks Game Day on the official home of the Canucks. Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network. Here's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah, and Randeep Chanda.
It is here. The season is upon us. Canucks and Oilers. Puck drop. An hour from now, here on Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network. A new day is upon us. After everything that happened last season, the Canucks were aggressive in the offseason. And that has brought in new hope with a new roster. New contracts for their star young players, Elias Pettersson and Quinn Hughes. Oliver Ekman-Larsson, Connor Garland, Jason Dickinson, among those new faces you will see in the lineup. And now it begins as the Canucks set out for the first game of the regular season against the Edmonton Oilers. And it's a good team. I could see a lot to like. I could see where the holes may be as well. But it's what they play the 82 games for, to figure it out if they're good or not so good.
Yeah, man. You know, I think that this team's going to be all right. Like, I think that they're actually going to be good. I mean, you know, and we'll see ultimately how good they're going to be. But I have a hard time not believing in the higher-end talent of this team. I spent the last couple of years talking about Pettersson and how much I believe in his talent. We've seen Quinn Hughes in a tough year last year for both guys, but they can still bounce back and still ascend, and we haven't seen the peaks of those guys. And honestly, when you have talent like that, that's now heading into year three for Quinn Hughes, year four for Elias Pettersson. Bo's been here for a long time. Brock was not playing tonight. He's now entering year five of his NHL career. JT Miller's been around now. The time's now. Not to be a cup contender, but to be a good hockey team. So if we believe in these guys and this talent, and even though, yeah, this, you still need more to be an ultimate cup contender, but they have enough to be a good team this year, and that's what my expectation is.
Yeah, the talent up front is there, and if, you know, predicting a season is tough, but it's going to, if I'm going to predict something, I'm predicting that the Canucks season this year is going to be like the Tyson Fury, Deontay Wilder fight on Saturday, just in terms of nothing is ever steady in the NHL, and especially with the team that, you know, is already going through stuff. It's going to be one of those, you get knocked down for a couple of games, then you knock down the other team. Like, I feel like it's going to be one of those roller coaster rides, because that's what the Canucks do. But this team does have the talent on the forward group. And Thatcher Demko, I've been talking about it, you know, top 10 to me. He's a goalie already in the NHL. Can he make, you know, further inroads? We'll see this year. But they're going to need him to go, you know, play very, very well. And I think he can do it. I think, you know, that forward group and that goaltending can lead them to be a contending team in the Pacific Division. I'm not going to say any further than that. But, you know, are they a playoff team? Simple yes or no. I believe they can be.
It's going to be a long season, and a lot will happen, and we'll see where the Canucks end up. We'll keep talking about it. An update from BMO Field in Toronto. Canada has taken the lead on Panama. Alphonso Davies scoring an incredible goal. They lead 2-1 in their quest to qualify for the World Cup next year, and this right now would put Canada in third place in the group if the result stays this way right now, and 2 points ahead of Panama. This is a massive match for Les Rouges. All right, let's bring in our play-by-play team, Brendan Batchelor and Corey Hirsch. What's up, fellas?
Fired up, ready to go. How are you guys?
Oh, we're doing all right. Canada just scored again! 3-0! 3-1.
Olé. Olé, olé, olé.
Allez les Rouges. All right, the Canucks and Edmonton Oilers.
Too bad they're playing Greenland. I don't even know. Who are they playing?
They're playing Panama, Hirschy.
Oh, okay. Well, Panama, yeah. I mean, that's Panama. Isn't that a Van Halen song?
It is a Van Halen song.
Do you want me to sing it?
No.
No.
You know who sings it?
Van Halen?
Not me. Yeah. Not me.
That's right. Canada up 3-1, another goal. This one from Tejon Buchanan.
Good Lord, it's like an Oilers-Canucks game.
season starts tonight, fellas. How are you feeling about this team?
I don't know, Hirschy. What do you think? Cautiously optimistic, I guess, would be the way that I would look at it with the new additions they have here. If things go well, they have a chance to have a good year, push towards the playoffs, try and get back to the team we saw 2 years ago. But especially with the injuries they have going into the year here, Hershey, it feels like there's a lot of variables that if they go their way, they'll be in good shape. And if they don't, it could be ugly.
Yes. I think they're a playoff team. I do. I do worry about their third and fourth line still. I worry about the left side depth, you know, once Motter comes back. But there's just, you got to have three lines that can score now. Pod Colson on the fourth line to me is like just that's a throwaway. I think he needs to play with good players. But hey, it's the first game. And trust the coaching staff. They know these guys. However, the season is going to rely on Demko and Halak because if this team doesn't learn how to play good, solid defensive hockey, it's going to come down to their goalies like it has the last couple of years.
Well, and that's the thing that has to change. You can't apologize for having great goaltending, nor should you ever apologize for it anyways. And if you get goaltending, that's fine.
Sad, I can apologize for my goaltending.
Well, there's a difference.
He said good goaltending.
Good goal, you know. Well, I said, but I'm still apologizing.
Yes.
I'd like to apologize to anybody that watched me play right now out there. You see how I turn this up back
like
into
it.
Me, right?
I like
turn
it.
Around to me.
It turns into the Hershey Hour. It's always the Hershey Hour here.
Batch, you can just go out and get some M&Ms because that's what they serve here and they're delicious. Okay, go ahead. Fire away.
But, you know, on the back end, that's a big topic of conversation. And, you know, Kyle Burrows looks to be playing tonight alongside Jack Rathbone. And he's a guy that flew under the radar through training camp, right? And, yeah, he impresses a bit when we watch him. He was kind of quiet and unassuming through the preseason, but always steady. He gets a chance to start opening night here with the Vancouver Canucks. How surprising is that?
It's surprising. It's good news for Kyle Burrows. It's bad news for the Vancouver Canucks. And this is not to take anything away from the local kid who's come in and made the hockey club here, and not just made the hockey club, but earned himself a spot in the opening night lineup. But it does speak to the lack of depth they have on the right side of that blue line without Travis Hamonic. And you look at the pairing going into this game tonight, the third pairing of Jack Rathbone skating alongside Kyle Burrows, they've got a combined 13 career NHL games between the two of them. So I worry about that a little bit. Not that I don't have faith that they can do the job, but it's a pairing that Travis Green is likely going to have to shelter throughout this game. And you were hoping anyway with, you know, Pullman coming in and Oliver Ekman-Larsson coming in and expecting Hamonic back, that you would be able to put out three pairings where you might not have to worry about sheltering them. But, you know, just a couple of issues going into the year, whether it be injuries or Hamonic's situation, and suddenly you're back in a position where that third pairing is not one that you'd feel comfortable throwing out against anyone in the league.
I agree. And on the same sense, though, they have to get experience somewhere. So why not at the... There's 82 games. You know, my concern is that Dave Tippett's a very good bench coach, just like Travis Green is. So a McDavid-Draisaitl matchup against that third pairing might be a little bit much for those two. But, hey, you know, it's game one. Yeah. Well, I guess if you don't win tonight, you can't win 82, right, Brendan?
Absolutely.
You know, which is most teams strive for. So I guess we'll wait and see. Let's give him a chance. But I do agree with Brendan. That's bold. That's a bold move, Cotton.
Well, and the one thing I would say, guys, is I imagine that Travis Green is going with those two guys because of their foot speed. Because we know the Oilers are quick. We know McDavid and Draisaitl are quick. And if you look at, I guess if you want to take the pairings and say he had two options on his third pairing, Hunt and Shen or Rathbone and Burrows. Rathbone and Burrows are the quicker pairing, the better skating pairing. I would imagine that's what Travis Green is thinking, having those guys in his lineup tonight.
Yeah, you don't want to get Luke Shen stuck in transition against either one of those guys. And really, the top six is pretty fast for the Edmonton
Oilers. Whoa.
What's going on?
Luke Shen's a good player.
He's a good player, but transition to Hershey. Come on now. All right, test notes.
I'm just bugging you, buddy. I'm just bugging
you.
Hey, first game of the year, right?
Don't worry. I'm not good in transition either. Okay, so let's focus on the forwards here because Tyler Mott, you know, he should be back hopefully on this trip. He's, you know, he's an individual that maybe isn't out for that long. But Juho Lehmikko, what's the early returns there? What did you see in practice, Batch? What's this kid about?
He's a young kid here. Well, you know, getting older, I guess, 25 now, but relatively inexperienced in the league, was a staple for most of the year with the Florida Panthers last year, played 44 games, was fifth among their forwards in penalty kill ice time, and that, to me, is a big key for why the Canucks acquired him, why they brought him in the Ole Juolevi trade, is Juho Lammikko can kill penalties. He's another centerman, and their center depth has been hurt without Brandon Sutter. So that's what I would expect from him. He's going to center the fourth line tonight. He's probably not going to play a lot at 5-on-5, but I would expect to see him as one of the top four forwards, if not one of the top two forwards, out on the penalty kill as a guy that they hope can get out there, win draws for them, and help them try and avoid letting McDavid and Draisaitl go to work on the power play. But, you know, really the key in that regard of the game tonight, guys, has to be to not take penalties and to stay disciplined, because the Oilers' power play was the best in the league last year. There are many people around Edmonton who think it's going to be even better than it was last year.
Can it be?
This season?
Good Lord.
Well, I guess we'll find out. They've got Zach Hyman that goes in on the top unit in place of Alex Chiasson. So a lot of people think that that's going to help boost their numbers. So in light of all that, you hope that Juho Lammikko doesn't have to do a lot of penalty killing tonight, because that's certainly not a recipe for success for the Canucks.
Another update from BMO Field. Canada now up 4-1 on Panama, improving their goal difference. Jonathan David getting in on the fun, as it's a big one for the Canadian men's national team in their quest for the World Cup. So looking at Elias Pettersson, he did a great piece with Ian McIntyre at sportsnet.ca right now, and Pettersson knows that there is more pressure and even more expectation than ever on him now with the new contract. What do you hope to see out of Elias Pettersson this season?
Well, here's what I hope to see and what I know I'll see. I hope to see a guy that takes a little bit more of a leadership role on the ice, but here's what I know I'll see. When you get hurt and you miss half a season like he did last year, it actually makes you appreciate the game a lot more. Because when you're sitting there watching from the stands and you're helpless and you can't get on the ice and you're that age, that's what you do. You compete. So I expect a re-energized, outstanding year from Elias Pettersson, because that's why we play the game, because it's fun. The money is the money, right? It's like everyone thinks, oh, yeah, you play for the money. No, you play. And the money is like, I can't believe they pay me this to play hockey.
You play to win the game.
You do. Yeah, and you play to play because it's fun. And that's what you've done your whole life. And you're like, wow, they pay me to do this? So for Pettersson, I expect a guy that sat out last year, watched a lot of hockey, missed it, and is like, I don't ever want to be in that situation again. Didn't have a great year last year. I think we saw it in preseason too. So, you know, hopefully he fires it up tonight.
You know, that's absolutely something we want to see from him, and I think we'll see a lot of bounce-back ability here. But if there's a player you're identifying as perhaps having a bigger impact than people are expecting this year, perhaps taking a step people aren't expecting, do you have somebody that you guys are circling of that, okay, you might see as a surprise performer this season?
Well, you hope it's OEL, right? Because there's been all the talk about how his game has slipped over the last few years. But all of that said, he's been tremendous through the preseason, Hershey. He's looked like he might be a bit rejuvenated coming to Vancouver. And make no mistake about it, the Canucks are going to need that from Oliver Ekman-Larsson with where their blue line sits. We already talked about the issues on their third pairing. In light of that, if that continues much longer, Oliver Ekman-Larsson is going to be relied upon to play a ton of minutes, ton of matchup minutes, ton of minutes against the top players in the league. If he's up to that challenge, and if he can surpass the expectations that people have for him joining the Canucks, that's a game changer for them this season.
I have high expectations for Batch. That's who I want to see. I want Batch to like really come every game, motivated, ready to roll. But other than Batch, I want Bo Horvat to step up. I want him to become a, you know, he's not going to be Steve Yzerman, but I want him to become that type of player. I want him to become that type of leader, like a Jonathan Toews, a guy that plays gritty, that shows up every night. Like Bo Horvat's, I love him, of course, as a guy and as a player, but sometimes he disappears for 4 or 5 games. And in his own end, he is a bit lost. I think Coach Bradshaw is going to put an outstanding defensive system together for this team that they haven't been taught. And I hope Bo Horvat embraces that, because that's what's going to make him a great player. So what are you going to be, Bo? Are you going to be, You know, just a really good player? Or are you going to be a great? Are you going to be a Jonathan Toews? Are you going to be a Steve Yzerman? Are you going to be one of those guys that leads night after night? That's what I'm looking for out of Bo Horvat, and I think he can do it.
Yeah, and early on here, he's going to get a chance to play with Tanner Pearson, of course, who he knows well. But Connor Garland on the other wing is the player that, you know, is most intriguing to me, I think, from the forward group, is that this is a player that is very skilled, but he's hard-nosed. And finally, you know, a really solid winger to play next to Bo Horvat. You know, Hershey, you've seen him. He's played in Arizona, which you have links to, of course. You know, what can Canucks fans expect tonight? Because in the preseason, it didn't feel like he was going all out yet, which is totally fair because it's the preseason. What is Connor Garland, the regular season version, like?
I want everybody to relax their expectations on Connor Garland. I want him to be able to be a good player and not have to live up to dollar amount, right? Just be a good player. And yes, you signed that deal, but we would all sign that deal. The issue that I have with Connor Garland is in Arizona, he got minutes that he probably wouldn't get with, say, Tampa or another team, right? Because you got to get guys on power play. I do think he's a great player. Is he a 30-goal scorer? I don't think so. I hope he proves me wrong. I think he's a great player for this team. I just don't want us to, you know, put our expectations and then him turn into Louis Erickson because everybody hates him because he's not living up to the contract. He's not going to be that. He's a harder worker. But let's, you know, give him a chance to settle in and be the player he can be and be effective. And Batch, I don't know what you see.
Well, I don't think we need to read too much into his preseason just because he comes to a new team. He's played on a variety of different lines through the preseason. It's not like he got to skate with one line. He was with Horvat. He was with Miller. He was with Pettersson. So he hasn't really found that chemistry. By his own admission, he didn't like the way he played in the preseason. But you know what? If he has a strong start to the year, nobody cares about what you did in the preseason. He's got to be that energy guy, gets to the middle of the ice, creates chances, is around the net. You want him to be a guy that can be a thorn in the other team's side, kind of like a Brendan Gallagher, like that kind of player, where not only is he trying to provide offense and can provide offense, but he's getting under the skin of the other team and causing issues for them. If Connor Garland wants to reach his potential, to me, that's the kind of player he's got to be, and the Canucks could use that kind of player, so hopefully it works out that way.
That was awesome, Batch. Drop the mic. That was good. Well said. Very well said. I'm not making fun. I'm like, that was well said. Yeah. Okay. Anyways.
Batch is one of the best.
Back to hockey.
For sure. So when it comes to, we talked about Oliver Ekman-Larsson as a bit of an X factor for this team in that, you know, if the Canucks can get two pairs really working, that will go a long way to helping their, you know, projections for the entire season. We see that third pair, Rathbone and Kyle Burrows. I would imagine that's a pair that Travis Green would like to shelter a little bit, at least early on, and see how, you know, they progress as the season goes on, depending on how much they play. But that, you know, really depends a lot on how Oliver Ekman-Larsson and Tyler Myers are able to, you know, hold water with their matchups and potentially win some of their matchups, right?
Yeah. So here's what I know about OEL. We're going to watch him at times this year and go, oh my God, can this guy even play in the NHL? He'll play two unbelievable periods. He'll play one bad one because he loses interest in games sometimes. If he's not, he loses interest. But I'll tell you what I do know about OEL, when the game is on the line, this guy comes to play and he's a gamer. He's like, you know what? He's a little bit Grant Fuhrish like that. You know, where, and that's what I know about him. He'd scored a ton of OT goals for AZ. And here's the other thing I know about OEL. If this team gets into the playoffs, if they ever got to like a Stanley Cup, this guy would be a Conn Smythe. That's what I believe about OEL. He's that good when he turns it up. His issue is he loses interest sometimes during the game.
How big a part of that could be that he was in Arizona the last few years? They weren't competing. You know, when you're playing game number 39 of the season and you're already out of the playoff race, I'm sure that would be easy.
It's a learned behavior, of course. And part of it is you are who you are in a way. But yes, Brendan, very, very well said again. You're going to the season and you know you're not going to make them. You know you're not winning the cup, right? So, but I guarantee you that if OEL gets, like, when he gets into the playoffs, this guy can turn it up to another level that we haven't seen in a long time here in Vancouver.
What do we expect to see from Jason Dickinson? Because it's been pretty quiet around him. The only kind of feedback we got from head coach Travis Green early in training camp and preseason was he's been average so far. We haven't seen the impact yet, which is hard to see for guys in that role in the preseason. But what are your expectations for Dickinson and the impact he could have?
To a certain extent, I think quiet is good for him because although he's talked about wanting to produce more offense, his track record says he's not an offensive player at the NHL level. But what you want from him is key minutes where his line is able to keep their head above water, right? Because we've looked at the bottom six for the last number of years for the Canucks, and you look at the possession metrics and all of the advanced stats that you want, and we all know that, generally speaking, Canucks key players, when they're on the ice, things are good. Pettersson, Hughes, Horvat to a certain extent as well. Anywhere else in the lineup in the last few years, it's been a struggle for the Canucks. So you want Jason Dickinson to change the culture of that third line to be a line that it can maybe be used in a shutdown role. I know it's kind of a hybrid-looking line going into this game tonight. They've got Matthew Highmore on the one side, Nils Höglander on the other. But I don't expect a lot of offense from Jason Dickinson. I just want reliability from him. I want, you know, a guy that isn't going to be out on the ice for many goals against, that is a strong penalty killer, because he's going to have a big role in that here to start the year, guys. But other than that, yeah, much like we talk about depth defensemen, if we're not talking about them at the end of the night, it probably means they had a pretty good game, didn't make too many mistakes. I kind of think Jason Dickinson is the kind of player that can fit into that mold, even though he's playing at center.
Gentlemen, season is upon us. We'll be listening at 7. Thank you.
Thanks, boys.
Sounds good. Thank you.
There is Brendan Batchelor, Corey Hirsch, our play-by-play team for the Vancouver Canucks here on Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network. All 82 games here on Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network through the course of the regular season. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah, and Randeep Janda. On the Edmonton side of things, Connor McDavid. I think everybody around the league is wondering what the encore looks like for McDavid after 105 points in 56 games. That is a 150-point pace, or thereabouts. I don't know if that's realistic, but it feels like 130 is the floor for Connor McDavid.
Yeah, the question is, how close does he get to 150? Nobody has a perfect science to this, but like, the last couple of years, he's shown you that he can stay healthy, mm-hmm. which is important. Mm-hmm. Early on in his career, you know, that was an issue with the
knee
Brandon,
injury,
you know,
the shoulder injury,
the Giordano one, and the Brandon Manning one, and all of that. If he's healthy, 130, 135. I would say that range, you know, it's tough. It's a grind to put up that many points in a full season. But yeah, 135, I think that's attainable, man. Like, this guy has a special talent. Mm-hmm. Look at the metrics of him compared to Sidney Crosby. At the same points of their career, he's out scoring a Crosby. It's a different game.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little bit easier for skilled players. There's going to be more power plays in the first month of the season, and he plays on one of the most lethal power plays we've seen in a very long time. I think he gets close to like 135.
I mean, it is. people are going to think I'm crazy for saying this.
Say it.
But he's modern day like Gretzky. You know, like, he scores at such a higher rate than anybody else in the league. Like, his per 60 numbers are significantly better than anybody else. It's the closest thing we'll ever get to Wayne Gretzky, because he was just like, you know, lapping the field when it came to scoring points, right?
Well, I think the difference with what McDavid does, he does it at such a high-end speed. Yeah. And that's why, to me, he is such a unique player in the NHL. Like, we've seen that combination of speed and power from a goal scorer like Pavel Bure, but we haven't seen it from a centerman.
No.
Right? We haven't seen it from a player like him. Like, even Mario Lemieux, who to me, and I'm still kind of, you know, I'm team Mario. To me, Mario is the most talented player I've ever watched in my entire life, and that includes Gretzky. Gretzky's the greatest of all time. To me, the most talented hockey player I ever laid eyes on is Mario Lemieux, right?
Yep.
But even Mario didn't have the pace
no.
that Connor McDavid has.
He had the strength. He had, you know, the
Mario
vision
always,
and the skill.
Mario always looked like he was moving in slow motion.
Yeah, he could drag three dudes with him. Yeah. That's the thing, right? With Sidney Crosby, though, he's also adding a shot. He's been working on his one-timer. This reminds me of 2010 Sidney Crosby. Remember when
he won the Richard,
He won the Richard. I'm not saying McDavid's going to do that. But once he adds something to his game, watch out. Those goal totals might shoot up, too.
I would put nothing past the best in the game right now. All right, it is the Canucks pregame show coming up. We'll look back on our interview with owner Francesco Aquilini ahead of puck drop between the Canucks and Oilers on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Getting you set for all the action. It's Vancouver Canucks Game Day on the official home of the Canucks. Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network. Here's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah, and Randeep Chanda.
It is the Canucks pregame show. Canucks and Oilers starting off the season tonight. You'll hear it all on Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network. We're getting closer to puck drop. An update, Canada finishing off Panama 4-1 in the World Cup qualifier. It's been quite the year for our national program, the women winning the gold medal at the Olympics in Tokyo, and now the men on the quest for World Cup qualifying, an inching closer with this big win today over Panama 4-1 at BMO Field.
Overtaking Panama, third spot.
And they've got 10 points now in the group, and they'll be heading out to Edmonton in November. I got to tell you, I haven't thought about making trips to Edmonton in November all that often, but I mean, Canada soccer's got me thinking about it.
Wow, that's amazing, though. Of all the places you could go in the world as the world's opening up, the first one on your list will be Edmonton. Not me.
For a match against Costa Rica and Mexico. We'll see.
You know what? Like, I don't know. I might have to join you.
Yeah. Cam? Who's our boss these days? Can we get some days off?
Yeah, I'll do the return leg in Costa Rica. You guys go to Edmonton.
Yeah, Randy's smart. He's like, I'll do the other one.
All right. So, earlier today, as is tradition for most seasons, the Canucks owner and chairman of Canucks Sports and Entertainment, Francesco Aquilini, joining us to tee up the season, give a State of the Union type of address on his team. And you can listen to the full interview. It's up sportsnet.ca/650, also on podcast, People's Show, Apple Podcasts, Google Play. But wanted to give a chance to those listening in on the Sportsnet Radio Network some of what Francesco Aquilini had to say. And I think one of the biggest factors is Jim Benning. Let's start there before we get into his expectations for the team this season and moving forward. Here is Francesco Aquilini on Jim Benning and his faith in this management group through the years.
Hey, listen, I mean, look, I mean, I can understand the passion of the fans. Like, I really believe that, you know. But, you know, like, you know, dissing people because, you know, you're just second-guessing every decision they make. You know, I don't agree with that. So, you know, that's why, you know, I went on Twitter and, you know, and backed Jim because, I mean, things take their time. And I think now we've reached the point where, you know, we're going to see some results. So right now I'm backing Jim. And if you're going to diss anybody, you know, diss me, you know. I mean, Jim is doing his job. And, you know, these are very difficult circumstances. I mean, this is not easy. You know, you have to wait for right opportunities. I mean, you know, making player trades, drafting, all those things that happen, signing players. It's very complicated. It's a very fluid moving target. And, you know, I listen, Jim and his management team are working hard. They're working hard and they're putting the best team they can on the ice.
That is Francesco Aquilini on the faith he has had in Jim Benning, why they backed Jim or why he backed Jim on Twitter last year when pressure was mounting and speculation around Jim Benning was mounting. I know a lot of people are going to have their thoughts about how ownership is still feeling about Jim, but that is the owner's thought. Here's why he's still believing in it. The plan that Jim is selling to him seems like a plan that he can believe in, he can buy in, and he, at the end of the day, has the final say.
But how much more do you have to see to keep buying into it?
Yeah.
And I think that's the question too, right? Is what do you have to see this year, and it starts tonight against the Edmonton Oilers, about what makes you want to see that vision through another year beyond this season?
I understand that Francesco is backing his guy, and you know that's what leaders do, right? Anytime you know you're trying to say, hey, there's criticism that one of your employees is facing, you generally lean and say, hey, no, I have a role in this as well, you can criticize me. But there's an 8-year sample size now, right? That's the reality of in any hockey market, especially in Canada, one where that, you know, that hockey is loved and fans are passionate here, over an 8-year sample size, there's going to be criticism. There's going to be second guessing of every move, whether it's a waiver wire loss, a trade, a draft pick, because this isn't year one or two where you're saying, all right, let's see what this individual has. This is times eight. So I can understand backing your guy, which is exactly what he did. But guys, it's open season, right? 8 years. And if there's not wins there,
yeah,
the fans do have a right, and they have shown that they are going to be vocal about it. So I get why Francesco's saying that, but the fans after 8 years can criticize, endorse, stay neutral on, whatever they want.
There's a long list of fair criticisms to make.
Of course.
Yeah, and listen, fans are going to cross the line sometimes, right? And we, and honestly, when you see what happens in North America compared to European sports,
yeah,
it's really a children's game sometimes, right? Like, you see what happens in European soccer and other sports across the world. Like, it's really nasty. You think this is nasty? The tabloids in the UK.
Different,
my goodness. Ball game.
Yeah.
I mean, if people saw the tabloids, if they had the same UK tabloids here in Canada about hockey, you would never call these things ridiculous anymore. I mean, they are. They are ridiculous still in and of themselves, but there is another level as well. But the thing here, though, is there's always a level of respect as well, right? And I think whether it's media, you know, there are lines we shouldn't cross or whatever. And hey, fans are entitled to say what they want to say. But if you do cross the line or you go even farther, that goes beyond what the job entails, is it out of the realm of possibility? Is it unfair for somebody to clap back a little bit? I'm not necessarily sure it is. It's like, hey, listen, if you're going to talk trash, make sure you take the trash back as well, right? Like, don't talk it if you can't take it back. You know what I mean? So I think there has to be some of that. But at the same time, when you're talking about a segment of your fan base, you know, maybe being a bit more diplomatic sometimes.
Wouldn't hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought he was pretty strong on the comment about the banner, which is something that generally what we've seen in the past is, you know, people are pretty vocal on that. And we talked about it at the time. If that's what you choose to do, that's fine. But that's a guy that is, you know, an owner that's backing his individual that he thought was a personal attack rather than a hockey related, right? And that's where you can draw the line. To your point, Seth, some things are a little bit more personal. When I asked him that question about the banner, you could tell he wanted to take a hard stance on that because that's what he perceived as personal.
Yeah.
Continuing on that thought, expectations for this team this season. It's a bit of a loaded question, and you would expect that an owner of an NHL team has a certain bar he wants to see reached. And as we've talked about the 8 years, it's pretty obvious where that bar is. Here is Francesco Aquilini on expectations he has for this Canucks team.
I'd be really, really disappointed if we didn't make the playoffs, right? I mean, I'd be really disappointed. You know, so given that, I mean, we got a good group. I mean, hopefully these guys can come together you know, we'll see. We'll see what this group can do together.
You talked about early on, it's been a process, and you want to build it right. You don't want to cut corners with this team, and that's been the plan with Jim all along. Do you see, you know, expectations being not just playoffs, but is there a build towards getting back to the Stanley Cup, you know, where we're a consistent playoff team, and then we're working towards that? Playoffs, it seems like a bar that doesn't carry all the context, because sometimes you can get into the playoffs but maybe not look like a true Stanley Cup contender.
Yeah, and we've seen that in the past. But, you know, I think when we say playoffs, it's the first step. And obviously, you know, you want to win the Stanley Cup. I mean, that's always the goal. But the first step is to get into the playoffs. And, you know, with this group, they're young players. You know, our core guys are young, and they've had a little bit of experience in the bubble. And, you know, they see how hard it is in the playoffs. And the one thing about in the salary cap era, once you're in the playoffs, you know, anything can happen. Like we saw with the Canadiens last year, like nobody expected the Canadiens to go to the finals. It was kind of an anomaly. But, you know, so many things can kind of happen. And just like when we were in the bubble, like nobody expected us to, you know, to go one game within the Western Conference final. And, you know, if Besser puts that shot in, you know, like, you know, Vegas panics and we could win the game, right? It's just like, you know, who knows? Anything can happen. So right now for our group, the focus is you know, the next 82 games.
Yeah.
Right? Focusing on and learning from every game what it takes, the hard work, the dedication, the commitment, right, to being the best player you can be. It's like it's the next 82 games. Like that's what they have to think about. This group right now, you know, we've got a whole bunch of new players and our guys are developing and, you know, and Jim and Travis and everybody together. Like they got to focus right now what's in front of them. Like to start thinking the Stanley Cup right now, that's like that's in April, right?
Yeah.
Like what are we going to do between now and April? And what are we going to learn and how are we going to build and what are we going to do for each other?
That's Francesco Aquilini on expectations for the team. And playoffs is still the bar. Obviously, you're always working towards a Stanley Cup. But at least from the owner's perspective right now, players or the playoffs is the first bar that he wants to see this team reach.
Yeah, that's the organizational expectation that we've heard from Travis Green, from Jim Benning. But, you know, with the ownership, you want to ask that question because is it any different? Is there a bigger expectation?
Yeah.
What have we heard about Francesco Aquilini in the past is that there's a want to win right now. But from the owner, making that first trip to the playoffs is what he's saying. And ideally, you want to be a Stanley Cup champion. Ideally, you want to contend for that. But he's not looking down the road. Like, when that clip was playing, mm-hmm. the thought that I had was Francesco is essentially saying they're living day to day until the playoffs. It kind of felt like that.
To some degree, right? To some degree. And as far as tonight's game goes, we have some lineup news. And it's what we expected. It's from our play-by-play man, the voice of the Canucks on Sportsnet 650. You'll hear him and Corey Hirsch at the top of the hour from Edmonton, Canucks and Oilers to start the season. As we expected, Pearson, Horvat, Garland, Miller, Pettersson, Chiasson, Highmore, Dickinson, Hoglander, Dowling, Lemieux, Podkolzin. That is your forward group. On defense, OEL with Myers, Hughes and Pullman, Rathbone and Burrows, with Thatcher Demko starting in net.
And we can update the letters as well. We know Bo Horvat's the captain. We got JT Miller wearing an A and OEL as well. So he was wearing those in the preseason, but just to confirm, in the regular season, Oliver Ekman-Larsson does have a letter on his jersey.
Yeah, I imagine we'll see it rotate a little bit through the season, but we'll see how that plays out. Won't have as many assistant captains as the New York Rangers. Nobody does.
I think everybody on that team is an assistant captain.
Essentially.
You're getting it. You get an A. You get an A. You get an A. Everyone gets an A!
It is the People's Show, at least the crew of the People's Show on the Canucks pregame show. Canucks and Oilers coming up at the top of the clock. Exclusive comments of Travis Green ahead of the season opener next with the Green Report on Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Time now for the Green Report. Here's Brendan Batchelor.
It's the Vancouver Canucks and the Edmonton Oilers in the season opener tonight from Rogers Place, and I'm joined now by Canucks head coach Travis Green. And Travis, just first of all, the excitement level for you as the head coach to get the regular season underway, a more normal year on a road trip with fans in the buildings.
Extremely excited. Much like players, training camp, you know, it's a lot of hard work for the players. You know it. You feel it as a coach. You're pushing them. But as soon as that last game ends and you get into those final few practices, the guys are excited to play. And the coaches are as well. We can't wait to play tonight.
It was a bit of a different training camp for you. You've had injuries. You had a couple of your star players coming in late. How challenging was that for you? And in light of all of that, how prepared is your group to start the year tonight?
Well, I think we've done a lot of good work. I think the group has really bought into how we want to play and maybe certain changes in our game and an attitude amongst our team. And obviously, we've talked a lot about this a lot with guys being out of camp. We've had a lot of guys out of camp. It's not just Petey and Huggy, obviously, with Sutz, Mott, Besser, Hamonic. A lot of key players that weren't in camp. And the one thing about it, you can only deal with what you have in front of you, and we've tried to do that. And I believe our group's ready to go tonight.
When you look at the challenge of facing the Oilers, they're a team that you've become very familiar with over the last year, especially. They've always been in your division,
yeah.
But you played them 10 times last year. Does that help you coming into a season opener tonight like this?
Maybe a little bit. You're familiar with their group. Probably helps the coaches a little bit on pre-scouting stuff and our group feeling comfortable. We've got so many new players on our team that they might not be as familiar with the team as we are. So we've got to make sure that we don't overlook that. Publicly, everyone knows about, you know, McDavid and Draisaitl, so it's no secret to anyone on our team. They're a huge part of their team, but they've also added a lot of depth to their group, and you know, it's going to be a good challenge tonight.
And finally, one player that I don't think many people would have expected to play the first game of the season for you is Kyle Burrows, who comes in on the right side of the blue line. What did you like about his camp that has earned him the opportunity to start the season with you tonight?
Well, I think the first thing is he's played very well. You know, I've never seen a coach that benches guys for playing too well, and he's played well. He deserves to play tonight. I've liked what we've seen with his hockey smarts, his brain. He's very competitive. He's strong in his battles, in his own zone, around the net, in the corners, and he's a good skater. So, you know, he's earned to play tonight, and we'll see how it goes for him, but we're excited for it, and I know he is too.
Travis, thanks for this. Good luck tonight.
Thanks, Batch.
That is the Green Report, and it is brought to you by Freedom Capital, specializing in innovative and creative solutions for unconventional mortgage situations and equity loans, giving you the freedom to do what you want. Visit freedomcapital.com for more. It is the Canucks pregame show. Canucks and Oilers coming up in just over 10 minutes' time here on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah, and Randeep Janda. We told you the lineup just before the break in the Green Report. Also mentioned the leadership group. Bo Horvat is your captain. JT Miller and Oliver Ekman-Larsson are your assistants for tonight. Is it a surprise at all that Oliver Ekman-Larsson is wearing an A for this team right away?
Not at all. I am not surprised at all. And Oliver Ekman-Larsson is coming over from Arizona after being a captain in Arizona. Yeah. And being a captain doesn't mean you go somewhere else and right away become a leader. But one of the things that I was able to, and I think we talked about this before, but talking to some people that knew Oliver Ekman-Larsson, played with him and knew him in the organization, that he always set a very professional standard. He always showed up, and even if he struggled and things weren't right, he always showed up prepared. There was a level of professionalism he brought in practice to the room and everything like that. So I think that's the type of presence this team really needed. And I think once he came in, and he mentioned today in his media availability that he came to Vancouver early this year before training camp to skate with the guys to get to know them. Mm-hmm. And that really built a connection with a lot of guys in the room. And I think he kind of seamlessly went into being a leader with this team. So I'm not surprised at all to see him wear an A. And I think it's a testament to how he has embraced the situation already in Vancouver.
Yeah, and you look at that, you know, experience in Arizona, where the captaincy in Arizona is not easy, guys. Being the leader in a market which doesn't really care, where there's no ambition within the organization, and then eventually, after a few years, it's probably a tough situation to handle. This is a good opportunity for Oliver Ekman-Larsson from a hockey point of view, because he's walking into a market that cares. He's walking to an ownership group, as we just heard, you know, not too long ago. Francesco Aquilini has his expectations. The organization has expectations. And here, he doesn't have to shoulder the burden of being the guy to prop up a failing organization, because that's exactly what Arizona was. He can be one of the guys. He can, and we've talked about him being, you know, an upgrade on Alexander Edler in the sense that younger, you know, better skater at this point in his career. Obviously, Alex is older, but in terms of temperament and just being a, you know, cool customer on ice, Oliver Ekman-Larsson plays that style of game too, where you're looking at a player to have that calming influence. He's kind of like Alex in that way as well, where you're not necessarily going to have a rah-rah guy like JT Miller, who also has an A, but yeah. This is kind of that other balance to be like, all right, you've seen some stuff in Arizona. We just want you to be that cool customer back there.
We saw Pettersson wear an A towards the end of preseason there, mm-hmm. in one of those two games. Do we expect to see the highest earning forward on the team wear an A at points this year?
I could see it happening too, because on the road, obviously, you know, they have two assistants. We'll see when he come home, it's a bit different. And we saw that last year they had a bit of a rotating cast, mm-hmm. and the team hasn't come out and announced yet what the leadership group is. They did that a couple of years ago. We knew right away. So I wonder if this is something that they're kind of working through still. But it wouldn't surprise me at all, guys, to see Pettersson wear an A every once in a while, because what you want to do is start incorporating some of those guys into leadership positions. Yeah. Year four for Pettersson, right? And yeah, the player has to be able to show those qualities as well, of course, before you get that letter. But I think if all things are equal, I think the organization would love to kind of get Pettersson into a leadership position, especially on the ice.
It is the Canucks pregame show. Canucks and Oilers coming up in about 10 minutes' time. Puck drop from Edmonton. Of course, they'll have the pregame ceremony, as Edmonton is in their home opener, so they will have something going on to start their season at Rogers Place in Edmonton. want to do something that we're going to do through the year on the People's Show on Canucks Game Days and sometimes here on the Canucks pregame show. But we do it for football, our best bets, the people's best bets, and we want to continue it here through the hockey season as well. They'll be separate. We'll have our football best bets and also our hockey best bets. So, what are you looking at tonight as we take a look at some of the props available on the Canucks and Oilers?
Okay, I know it's going to be easy to look towards Edmonton because they've got Draisaitl and McDavid, but I'm actually going with the Canucks here. Quinn Hughes over on power play points. It's at 0.5, but the payout, plus 240, guys. Quinn Hughes, if he's going to pick up points, there's a very good chance it's going to be a power play point based on the amount of power plays we'll see in this game and what he does on the power play in terms of the damage he can do offensively. I like that. You know, there's probably going to be goals in this game based on what we saw yesterday. And generally, you hit the overs in games anyways early on in the year. So give me Quinn Hughes over on power play points, plus 240.
Oh, I like that. I like that. It's good value. And him getting a point on the power play, I don't think that's that out of the question at all, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm looking at a couple here that I find interesting. If you want to just go for a layup, I think JT Miller over 1.5 shots on goal is a pretty easy layup for this game. That doesn't pay out a ton, so something to keep an eye on. Leon Draisaitl is trying to get to a milestone tonight.
Yeah.
And I'm not doing the goals thing, but it's interesting. On shots, over 3.5. That's interesting for Leon Draisaitl. Because if he's trying to get the record, he's going to shoot the puck a lot, right? Even if he doesn't score, that could happen. But the one that I'm zeroing in on is Mike Smith over 25.5 saves. The Canucks will get lots of shots on goal. And I'm not saying the Canucks are going to lose this game, but I think they get a lot of shots on goal against Mike Smith and that Oilers defense. So I like the over on saves for Mike Smith at 25.5.
All right. Over in saves for Sats. And I'm taking it with Leon Draisaitl. If a guy's got a milestone goal coming up, like, doesn't he always score it against the Canucks? Isn't that like the thing?
Yeah.
Right.
We've had a lot of Gretzky memories here in the city. 802 was one of them.
It just always seems to happen. So I'm going Draisaitl to score minus 105. There are your best bets for tonight. We've got a little over a minute. We got just under a minute now here before we send you off to Batch and Hershey for the game call. Canucks and Oilers, season starts tonight. Quick thought on what you expect this season.
You know, I'm expecting fun hockey. That's what I'm expecting. You know, this team's not going to be perfect. They're, you know, we'll see ultimately what the ceiling is. I feel good about their chances to be a playoff team. I think it's going to be a fun team to watch. I think we're going to be reminded again of how incredibly talented some of these players are. And I think people have been sleeping on Pettersson. So watch for him to bounce back.
And I want to be reminded of how good this power play can be from a couple years ago. Show us that with those lethal weapons, you can be in the top five again this year. That's what I want to see tonight because you know there's going to be power plays in this game.
Yeah, it's going to be a fascinating Canucks season. It starts tonight. Canucks and Oilers, we're sending you at Edmonton for the puck drop on game one of the season. Signing off for Randeep Janda, Sat Shaw. I'm Dan Riccio. Canucks and Oilers next on the Sportsnet Radio Network.